DDP, I saw you in the press box at the Royal Rumble, and I said, I'm going to wait for the right moment. That moment is here. How are you, my friend?
Very good. It was so fun. When I went up into the press box, because I'm really good friends with Chris Van Vliet, right? And he had texted me, are you here at the Rumble? And after I did the little meet and greet that I did, I had said, yeah. And I go, where are you? He goes, the press box. So I snuck into the press box and I sat down. He goes, where'd you come from? And it was really the best seat in the house was in the press box there. And afterwards, I was starting to leave with everybody because I wanted to see the ending. So all the press box, you guys had all left.
Yeah.
I stood there and watched because I wanted to see what he'd do. And then it looked like everything was going to empty out. So I started to leave. But, oh, my God, you know, walking out there with all the wrestling fans, it started to become pandemonium. So I figured, to hell with this. I'm going to walk through the people. And people, it was so fun. I wish I had this little selfie thing going as I was going, for people going, wow, oh my God, because I'm walking. That's how I used to go to the ring all the time, through the people, right? And I love the way Cody, you know, when he's leaving, he's doing selfies. That's the stuff I used to do, man. Yeah. I would grab people's car camera. They're going, no, please leave. I go, take a breath, relax, click. And so I see him doing that and signing autographs and doing, as he's leaving. And if it's a show that there are no cameras, he'll stay and talk to the people like he is. I said this a while ago. I said, the very first people's champion is the man, Muhammad Ali. Then it's Dusty Rhodes. Then it's Diamond Dallas Page. Then it's The Rock. And now it's Cody Rhodes. I mean, there will be so many people like really mad, like, whoa, if he doesn't take this, if his story is not finished. And it couldn't be a bigger, better buildup because of that. And everything that happened in my career, like when I start to do the NWO angle where I turn them down, and it's supposed to happen on the third week. They asked me once, they asked me twice. The third week, I put the shirt on and I do what I'm going to do. Hit the diamond cutter on Scott and take Kevin over the top rope. But it gets pushed and it gets pushed and it gets pushed. Because the bottom line is, the bookers did not believe that I was that guy, that I should have been the guy. But Kevin and Scott did. It took 11 weeks to get there, and it pissed me off so bad, but it was the best thing that ever happened to me. The best thing to ever happen to me, because it told this story, and then Savage got involved, and then we had this unbelievable main event pay-per-view, and I win. And I'm telling you, Adrian, it took me to a different level that I never knew existed. And people from that match, their opinion, if they were on the fence, they were all in. It was that story. And then Savage had hurt his Achilles, so we couldn't do it the next month. So it got stretched to the next month. And it kept on going. That's what this is. This is that length of time that it took. If he'd have won last year in LA, it would have been awesome, but it wouldn't have meant as much. This in Philly, and Philly are some of the greatest wrestling fans ever, but it isn't just Philly, because you know, people come from all over the world. I think the Mania is number four for biggest draws to bring money into the community.
100%.
Like, of course, you know, the Super Bowl is number one. I think Olympics is number two. I don't remember where Mania is, if it's third or fourth or fifth, but it's somewhere in the top five. That's how big a deal it is.
And, you know, it's you telling that little tidbit of your career and that pivotal point in your career. And you're telling me, and having to wait and having to learn patience. I was lucky enough to already see the episode that's going to air this Sunday. And the one thing that stuck to me, and it even applies to Cody, is persistence. Because you get injuries as a younger kid, in your 20s you get injuries, but still, that dream of being a wrestler is in the back of your head. At 31, you finally get that chance. At 35, last resort, you're in the ring. And even when you get in the ring, people are like, ah, he's too old. Where does that level, where does that persistence come from, in your opinion?
Oh, God. When I watched it, because they had, I remember doing the interviews, but it's all how they piece it all together, you know. I've always, people have been telling me my whole life what I can't do. So to me, it's like, okay, watch. And just watch. It's going to take a while, but I'm telling you, it's going to happen because I'm not going to let it go. I call it being pleasantly persistent. And I've used it so many times. I try to teach it to as many young bloods as I can. You know, like, you got to be persistent. You got to be relentless. You got to keep putting the work in, and you got to see it. Because people who say, I believe it when I see it, those people never see shit. But the people who say, I believe it because I see it. That's what's magic. And a guy like The Rock, who's the biggest star in the world, he's one of those cats who see it at a different level. When you can be the biggest star in the world, let's just name another one, Tom Cruise. Oh, what did he ever do? He was the biggest star in the world. And Rock knocked him off that spot. But he's one of us. So that he's involved in what's happening right now at Mania, like, that is so magical. And it wouldn't have worked as well in LA. And from what I heard, he had commitments, so he couldn't do anything anyway. But for this to be here at this time in this place, if it wasn't Randy Savage that I beat back in 1997, if it was a guy who, it had to be Savage. Because Savage still was seen like as big as you can go. And he's kind of like the James Dean of wrestling. I mean, everybody still dresses up like Randy. Everybody, including me, do the Randy impersonation. You know, everybody's wearing t-shirts. Like, he's like, I don't know how to say it, but, you know, a different level of icon. And that's a guy I beat to change my career. And he's the guy who made it happen. Scott and Kev set me up. Without those cats, it never happens. But man, Randy, I'll never forget that Randy, we were in the locker room getting dressed, and Arn came in, and he said, "So, Randy, what do you want to do tonight?" And every night, bro, I'm getting left laying by the NWO. That's what we're doing. Or I escape, maybe hit Virgil, you know, and escape through the crowd, you know. But most nights, I'm getting left laying. And Randy says, think I want to take the diamond cutter. Like, there's no cameras. There's no people there, you know. There's plenty of people. The place is packed. There was 5,000 people who can't get in because we were so hot at that time, and they hadn't started booking, except for Nitros and stuff, the big buildings yet.
Yeah.
We had like an ice hockey rink, so maybe it held 11,000 people. There's 5,000 people who couldn't get in. And we went out there, man, and he beat the hell out of me. He was stiff as hell at times. And you gave it right back, you know? But I wasn't getting much because he's about to do the J-O-B, and he's going to make sure he's whooping my ass hard. And bottom line is, at some point, I started to blow a comeback. He stopped me, picked me up, and diamond cutter. And I freaking slipped into that baby, and the roof blew off. And he'd been beating the hell out of me, so I just lay there. And he took the diamond cutter, so he's just laying there looking up at the lights, and I didn't move. And then the people started rumbling and rumbling and rumbling, and I just laid my arm over him. 1, 2, 3. And it was one of the loudest pops I've ever heard. And because it was so many people in that smaller building, it was surreal, man. And I could hear him say, think you know what we're going to do for, spring stampede. And I'm like, no. Like, you don't ever believe. Yeah. You don't ever believe when something that huge in this business, you don't believe it. until you're walking to the ring. That's... And now you know they can't change it. You know? Yeah, they can try, but they ain't gonna. That shit's going down.
No, that's incredible. And really quick, by the way, you bringing up Macho Man, the elbow drop from him on a scale of 1 to 10 level of pain, can you, where is it at? Is that a 10?
25. 25. And I'm sure when Randy first started doing it, he took a brunt of it and to protect you.
Yeah.
But bro, when I was 40, I turned 41 the night before I beat him. So my whole run's in my 40s, being on top. And Randy, if you were lucky enough to take the cut, take the elbow, he used you as his crash bag. The first time he did it, I'm just laying there. He goes, he knocked me out with that gimmick to the head. I'm laying there. When he landed on me, I thought, because he came from this side, I thought the left side of my body's rib cage just opened up and my guts were all over the ring. And I know he's going to do it again. Oh, man. Yeah, you probably can't use this, but I'll tell you, I pissed blood for 13 out of 15 weeks. I mean, bad. And the doctor told me, I didn't go to the team doctor. I went to my doctor. And he's like, you need to take 3 weeks off minimum. I'm like, okay, this is the biggest run of my life. I'm not doing anything. I'd have to have torn my rotator cuff and couldn't pick my arm up, you know, to take a break.
No, absolutely. And look, I know you have to talk to a lot of people, so I want to get a couple questions in real quick.
Sure.
And you're bringing up your run, Monday Night Wars, Attitude Era. It's just an era that I don't think anyone ever thought that it would get this massive. But look at what's happening now. The WWE from Australia to Philly, all over the world, selling out. Monday Night Raw, SmackDowns, everything going through the roof. Hell, professional wrestling is on TV 6 times a week at least. It's insane. I mean, even Super Bowl week, Cody and The Rock, that situation was being talked about more than the damn Super Bowl game. To you, could I have you compare the eras?
They are very comparable. As a matter of fact, I did a video. If you want to see it, go to my Instagram, Diamond Dallas page. It's also my athlete Facebook. But I had to speak on it because I was getting bombarded from my buddies and fans and people who want to know what I thought of it. And I was in Jamaica at the time, and I'd watched the slap scene around the world. And the fact that The Rock was turning heel to get there, because there can only be one baby face when you're in that spot. And him coming in, I mean, The Rock is such a classy cat, man. And you don't know what's real. And I wanted people to know this. Like, you don't know what's real and what's not. And that's when you blur the lines. That's when wrestling works at a different level. The beginning of my little 7-minute video, I'm showing all the stuff where Scott Hall shows up, and then Kevin, then Bischoff gets thrown through the, through the stage, and then Hulk, you think he's going to do the save for Randy, but then he drops a leg on him, and he starts. It goes from the outsiders to the NWO, and it was the hottest thing ever. And I was lucky enough to go through a build through it and be ready when it got white hot. And I would have never thought that would happen again. But in a different way, it's happened again. When I was watching from Jamaica, there, this what I would call a press conference, but it was in an arena with like 15,000 people, like blew my mind. And then how they did with everybody bringing all the different, the shining stars of the superstars of the WWE out. And then here comes friggin' Roman, and then The Rock, and then Cody, and then Seth Rollins. I mean, man, I always say shit gets real, real fast out there. And when it does, it's magical, man. It's magical, and I love what they're doing. Anybody who's listening to this, go to my Instagram or Facebook. The one would be right before this. You talk about stuff I do outside of wrestling. The Butterbean story. Have you seen the Butterbean video yet?
Of course.
I mean, so powerful, man. And so that's up there if anybody's not seen it. And to see, like, that's what my program's all about. It's about taking the elite athlete to a different level so that they, you know, preventative maintenance so they don't get injured. And to the athlete or the regular guy or girl that's injured and in so much pain and they want to get out of it so that they can, you know, pick up their kids or their grandkids or whatever. And to see Butterbean go through that transformation, like I watched it with Jake and with Scott, now Marcus and Scotty Riggs. It's an incredible time for me right now because it's all happening at one time. And Cody would be like the cherry on the top to be, it's going to be emotional, not just for me. It's going to be emotional for so many people. I don't know if you saw it, but before I ended up in the press conference, I saw him coming down the line. Of course, he's the ultimate babyface. He's doing the pictures and he's doing the autographs. And I just jumped over the railing. You know, nobody stopped me, you know? And when he turned around, I was right there. And we had the bro hug. And it was a moment. And then when I sat down next to Chris Van Vliet. And he had said to me upstairs, he said, you know what? You got to come. Come. Because they gave me one of the little bands, right, for the press conference. And he said, you got to ask the first question. I'm like, yeah, right. And next thing I know, they hand me a mic and go, you ask the first question. I'm like, I don't have a question for him. But now I listen to him talk, and now I got a question for him. You know, the people who had been on the ride with him all this way, from the dashing Cody to the Stardust, and like, it did not look like he should ever be in this spot if we go back 5 years.
Did he think that he would in the conversations that you had back then at the time when he was making his name and said, hey, I have to leave. I have to do this on my own in my own path. Did he think that still? Or how difficult was it for him in the conversations that you guys had?
You don't know if you really can, but if, like I said earlier, if you believe you can, and this kid got a work ethic that is second to none. Rock, same way. You know, Triple H, same way. Me, same way. Those are guys I know put an incredible amount of work into what it takes to get there. And he saw it. And I just back it up because when you saw what he did with AEW, I mean, that was all the four guys, you know, bringing the Bucks and Kenny. But Cody was the workhorse. He's the one who was writing the TVs. He's the one who was putting it all together. And, you know, it was really, I'm sure if Tony could go back in time, he would change. But Cody wasn't going to make his real name there. We had discussions about this. He had to come back. He had to be, like, this story has been a story that's not just made up. This is like what I'm saying. It's real. It gets real, real, real fast. And it blurs the lines again because they don't know what's real and what's not. But you can see Dusty being the champion in Madison Square Garden and like Van beaming and then bing, 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 bing. And they pull it, you know, so they give it to the people and they take it away. I don't think they could take it away this time, you know? And this, what I love the most about the WWE right now is I got to know a guy named Paul Levesque, better known as Triple H, in WCW. And when I went in the Hall of Fame, he's the one who called me. And they captured it on film. And I just watched him catch it with Barry and Mike Rotunda. You know, Barry Windham, go guys coming in because they're in an interview. And you could just see they both got welled up and got a little, you know, little throat deal, a little choked up. I know because I've been there. But Triple H, this was in October before, you know, it was 2017. So, you know, January, you start hearing who's going to be in the Hall of Fame. So this is October. So I wasn't even thinking about it, not even in my mind. And I would always say to people, happen when it happens, happen when it happens. And it was time. And he just started talking. Hey, man, how's the shoot going? Hey, good to catch up. We talked about a couple of things. And he goes, you know, anybody who saw you when you first started out wrestling at 35, they got to be looking at you like I did. Like, what's this guy thinking? I'm 22. He's 35. What is he thinking? Like, he doesn't have a shot. But then because of the pleasant persistency and the work ethic, it did come. And he's the guy at some point, well, he's saying, but you proved them all wrong. And what a great run you had. And I'm starting thinking, oh, my God, is this that call? And it was. And it was a moment, man. So it was cool to see it in Barry and Mike Rotunda, see their faces when Triple H told them. And the thing I love about the WWE the most is that Triple H is now the storyteller, because he's one of us. He's a cat who came from nothing and worked his way up that ladder. And then you all know about the curtain call in Madison Square Garden. Man, he had the table ripped out from under him, and he went to the gutter. Now, let's see where you go now. And man, he came back stronger than ever. He understands storytelling. He understands storytelling in the ring, with the interviews, with the overall projection of where they want the company to go. And I think right now, I just talked to him the other day. You know, I think right now, like, there is no limitation, because all of a sudden, first of all, wrestling is cool again. And guys who are wrestling fans are talking to people who weren't such wrestling fans, but now are.
Yeah.
You know, there are people who come and go, but the force of the people, like, without the people doing this, I never, no matter what Scott and Kev were trying to help me do, this never gets even to be a subject without getting 100, then 500, and then 1,000, and 5,000, 20,000 people throwing this up when I hit my move, you know? So it's a really cool time to be on this run and to watch it. And I couldn't be any happier. All these planets have aligned for Mr. Cody Rhodes. And it's really special.
It all leads April 6th and 7th at WrestleMania. Before then, check it out this upcoming Sunday. A&E, WWE, Biography, your episode airing here for the West Coast at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 Eastern. DDP, it has been a pleasure, and I expect to see you both nights in the press conference, because you're now a member of the media, all right?
Yes, I am. Great to see you, Adrian. Walk up and say hello.